Vayechi Yankev Be'eretz Mitzrayim Shva Esrei Shana. The father Jacob lived in the land of Egypt for 17 years. This mimer was delivered by the Rebbe on the 16th day of Tevis. The year was Tav Shin Mem Zayin, somewhere between December 86 or January 87. And the pasuk goes on to say, "Vayihi yemei Yankev shnei chayov." So it were the days of Jacob, the years of his life. There were sheva shanim. There were 7 years. Va'abo yim umeas shana, and 40 and 100 years. So he lived in Egypt for 17 years, and he lived 147 years. That's how the parsha opens. V'yidu ha'diuk b'zeh. So there is a known exacting diuk, a precise analysis of these words. And this diuk actually does not come from the memorim of the previous rabbeim. Surprisingly, very unusual. This diuk comes from a sicha, from an edited sicha of the Rebbe, is where this diuk is found. And the Rebbe says the diuk that he has discussed and talked about earlier already is, Ma'u inyan vayichi yankev be'eretz Mitzrayim. What is up with this business of Jacob lived for 17 years? Now, the word lived can be understood as not dead. For example, you could have, God forbid, a terrible accident, and there can be survivors, and is anybody still alive? So, alive just means not dead. But really, and truly, for the most part, being alive is a positive thing. It's not the opposite of death. Being alive has its own independent definition. And, you know, people call it living it up, or doing life, or, you know, are you living? How's your living conditions, and so on and so forth. And it's interesting that the word live never shows up in the description of Jacob's life. It never says he lived. He lived here, he lived there. It doesn't say that. You know, people say, you lived in this place, you lived in that place. You lived good years. It doesn't say that about Yaakov. The only time it ever says the word lived is when he's in Mitzrayim, in these 17 years. And this is telling. This is telling. The fact that it doesn't speak about Yaakov living elsewhere, the only time it talks about him living, as if like to describe living in a positive sense, living fully, is in the land of Egypt. And it's mashma, it seems, there is an intimation here, she'ikar shnoisav, that Yaakov's primary years, what you would call his best years, when did he really live? Not when he survived, not when he got through things, not when he was able to, you know, keep his head above water. When did he live? He really enjoyed life, if you will, in English, when he was in Mitzrayim. So the Rebbe's question is, okay, so did Yaakov never really enjoy life? Was life always so harsh to him? Did he never have like a good day? And you could say, well, he grew up under very trying circumstances. He had an overbearing twin brother who was basically a little monster, and then he turned out to be a big monster. And he tormented Yaakov endlessly, and Yaakov had to contend with this all the time. And it was very difficult. And it's even more difficult that his father seemed enamored with his monster brother. And Yaakov never wanted to tell his father the truth. He's like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, this brother of mine, he's horrible, he's terrible, he didn't want to do that. So Yaakov was a mama's boy, and he probably got harassed and bullied for that too. He had a tough life. And he was somehow always ended up living in the shadow of evil. And then he finally leaves the land of Canaan, and he's going to make his own life. And he ends up with a father-in-law from hell. I mean, like, Lavan is just a terrible guy. And he's tearing stripes off Yaakov every single time he has a chance. So the Rebbe says, okay, but there is a time in the narrative of the Torah where Yaakov does live. And he lives. He lives. Things are really relatively good for him. When is that? And this is that it says, Vayeshev Yankev be'eretz meguri aviv. That in the Parsha it says that Yaakov settled in the land of the sojourn of his father. Vahainu. When the Torah says that he was vayeshev, he settled in, so the word vayeshev means to sit or to settle, and it adds in the parentheses here, it means hisyashvos umenucha. It means rested. Yaakov rested. He had restful years, enjoyable years, nice years. Years in which Esav had gone, his father-in-law was far away, Yaakov was living with his family. So nice, an enjoyable, so to speak, life. And there was Be'eretz Meguri Yaakov, back home in the Holy Land, in the land he felt comfortable, land he belonged. And this is especially so, Al Pi Pirush Chazal, according to the interpretation of our sages, which is brought in the Medrash, and Rashi actually quotes it. Shevayeshev, Hainu Yeshiva B'Shalva. The Vayeshev means to be able to sit, to relax, to enjoy. It's Vayeshev. And it says over there, in fact, he wanted to keep having, so to speak, an easy or a relaxed life, and it didn't work. It didn't work because kafatz alav rogzer shel Yosef, then the angst of Yosef sprang upon him, as is explained elsewhere. Okay, one second. I understand that. But until the angst of Yosef, until the story with Yosef, Yaakov did have a period of life which is calm, quiet, serene. How long was that? If you look in Likut HaSichus, the Rebbe actually makes a calculation that it was almost 9 years. 9 years is a chunk of time. It's a chunk. It's not 9 months. It's not 9 hours. Not 9 days. It's a chunk of time. So Yaakov did have 9 good years. And yet the Torah never uses the word Vayechi when it describes that. But it does use the word Vayeshev, but not Vayechi. But why does it say Vayechi specifically here and not another word? In other words, the Torah describes Yaakov being in different places. It could have said easily, Vayeshev Yaakov, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov then settled into the land of Egypt. And you can't tell me, well, then we Parshas Vayeshev was already taken. What would we call this Parsha? That's not a good answer. That's if that's the right terminology to be used, then that's the terminology that should be used. The Parsha's name is not the issue. We'll figure out the Parsha's name. The issue here is creating or finding the appropriate description for Yaakov's life. And it's just very, very telling and compelling that the Torah never uses the terminology of Vayichi to describe Yaakov's living. Never, with the exception of his 17 years in Mitzrayim. And somehow it seems, and you know, they say in Yiddish, Vuot Yankiv Gelept, where did he live? Where did he enjoy life? Where was life fullest? Where? In the land of Mitzrayim. Now, in many Maimarim, the question kind of goes in the direction is, how could it be that Yaakov lived his best years in Mitzrayim? Mitzrayim is a place of licentiousness and lecherousness. Never doesn't go through that. He's not even talking about that here. He's not talking about the fact that Yaakov, who is the select of the patriarchs, is living his best years in a land of moral deprivation. He is asking, though, why is this the only time that the Torah chooses to describe the word V'Yaakov? Here is where he lived, specifically, not elsewhere. Now, V'hinah l'chayda ha'yef sholemer, it would seem reasonable to say that V'yichi yankiv eretz Mitzrayim, that Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim, ha'kavana b'zeh, hu kimefudish b'hemshech ha'pasuk. It's like it says in the rest of the pasuk. You know why it says the word V'yichi? Because the rest of the pasuk unfolds with shva eser shana, 17 years. And therefore, so Nosef ala mafudish, the divrei Rabbeinu Hazaken, besides the open and explicit interpretation of the Alter Rebbe, that Shneisav achiteves chayankiv b'Mitzrayim, that Yaakov's best years were lived in Mitzrayim, and there's a whole discussion about that, about learning Torah and how Torah helps a Jew transcend his or her environment, etc. And so, but besides this, we can't just simply say that it says Vayechi because that matches the concept of 17, and 17 is the gematria of Tov. So therefore, it had to be Vayechi. Yaakov had to live his best years. Harei, number one, Mevur Bekama Mekemis has explained in many places, Shemisper Yudzayin Shevapasek Zehu Begematria Tev, that it says that the gematria is 17 here. Shemizem Muvin Sheshneisav Achitev Yisayu B'Mitzrayim. This we understand that Yaakov's best years were in Mitzrayim. Uki Mevur Bekama Mekemis Sheyudzayin Shana Eloim Keneged Mashakosav B'Deish Parshas Vayeshev Yeshev B'Nsvas Shana, that the 17 years of Parshas Vayechi, they appear in corollary to the 17 years in the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, because it says Yosef was 17 years. So you cannot just say, well, he lived there. That's what happened. So he lived there. So that's why the Torah has to say Vayechi. But that's not really so, because there's 17 years of Yosef. I mean, it just doesn't, that's not what would compel us to use the word Vayechi. You can't come up with that conclusion. And the Beis, the second thing is, Mesiyah Makasov, the conclusion of the Pasuk is Vayehi Yemei Shnei Chayav, the days of his life were Mashma Shechayav B'Mitzrayim Hoya Iker Mikol Shnei Chayav. It seems like the years lived in Egypt were the years really lived. Because it says, Yaakov lived in Egypt for 17 years, and these were the years of his life. So it's like, this is the years he lived, and these were the years of his life. And this brings us back to the question, why is it specifically there that Yaakov lived? There were other good times in Yaakov's life. This is our question. Another interesting diuk with which we're going to conclude the diukim part, or the questions, is that here the years of Yaakov are presented to you in a different order than the other tzaddikim in this book, in the book of Bereishis. Because earlier it had Mispar Gadol to Mispar Katan. For example, let's say the most famous pasuk that everybody knows is the pasuk that opens Parshas Chayisara. right? And the years of Sarah were 100 shana, 100 years, v'esim shana, and 20 years, v'sheva shanim, and 7 years. So that's how we say 127, literally 127, like you say it in English. But here is it is magdim mispar katan l'mispar gadol. Here it starts off, Yaakov lived 7 years, and 40 and 100. So the question is, why reverse the order? How come there we said 127, and here we say 740 and 100? Okay. So the Nekuda, here is the kernel of the explanation. This is just a wow thing. Hine Yedua. It is well known. And Alter Rebbe talks about this in the 36th chapter of Tanya and develops the famous Medrash, Medrash Tanchuma, Parshas Nasi. Tachlis Kavonas Habriya. The ultimate purpose of creation. He, Mashen Esava, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Li Yesle Yisbarech, Dira B'tachteinim. Is that God should have a dwelling place here on earth, in this terrestrial reality. V'hainu, V'oylam hazeh ha-tachtein, in this lowest form of existence, lowest form of reality, she'ein tachtein l'mata himenu, it doesn't get lower than this. You can't get lower than an existence that denies its creator entirely. The only place in the world where atheism is possible is right here. There are no Christopher Hitchens living in world of Atzilus or Bria or Yetzirah or even Asiya Haruchni, even in the spiritual realm of Asiya. There is enough light to know with clarity the origin of all creation and how Hashem is bringing everything into existence in an ongoing fashion. But only here in this world is it so dark that it's possible actually to believe that God doesn't exist, or to attribute the power of the vivifying power of divinity to other things, to idols, and to worship them. Ukimavur b'Tanya, like it explains in Tanya, there in the 36th chapter. Sha'ilu mesal yenim, hinilahem, hu yiridim e'panav yizbarach. If you ask yourself the question, so why did God create all these worlds? These spiritual worlds, which is spiritual creatures, and then it gets more and more dense, which means it gets more and more independent feeling until we reach the point of the reality that we live in. So the Alter Rebbe says, Lohem yirida me'erpanav yizbarach, that would be, those worlds would be a lowering of divine standards, a world that is less impressive, less spiritual, less connected to God. See, it doesn't look like that to us. To us, it seems like, wow, those worlds are so spiritual. Those worlds are so much beyond what we know and what we can appreciate. But the truth is, from the divine vantage point, those worlds are a big disappointment. They're far less than the higher reality or the truest reality. So what would be the point of it? We're impressed, okay, but God's not impressed. So why did he darken reality? Why did he create these worlds which seem independent, and then it gets more and more and more so? What was the point? And the answer is that all of this has an ultimate destination, an ultimate goal. What is the ultimate goal? The ultimate goal of all this devolution and all this lowering of the standards of reality is in order to come into Olam HaTachten, in order to come into this lowest world. And what is the purpose of this lowest world? And the purpose of the lowest world is Tzedek Aliyah, for us to be able to create an elevation. So it's a descent for an appropriate ascent that will follow. And that's how, this is like the short, if you want the short two-sentence answer of how Chassidus explains the very purpose of creation based on this Medrash, as Alter Rebbe develops it, that's what creation is all about. So now, the Rebbe says, this is what's represented with Yaakov's going down into Mitzrayim. Shehu b'shvil la'asis lo yizbarech dira b'tachteinim. Why did Yaakov go into Mitzrayim? So you'll say, what do you mean? Why did he go to Mitzrayim? He was hungry. He had to feed himself. He had to help his family survive. And the answer is no. That's not why Yaakov went to Mitzrayim. Yaakov went to Mitzrayim because there was a place on planet Earth that didn't know of God, that didn't care about God, and Yaakov had a mission. So God arranged it that that's where his food was. And his son was there. And that's where he'd be safe and secure materially, which is a mitzvah in the Torah to take care of yourself. But really what the purpose was about Dira B'Tachteinim, is of making this material world a godly place. The Mitzrayim, because Egypt, I know Leirak Mitzarim Ugvulim Shalamela, not just the spiritual alter ego of Mitzrayim, not just the notion of strictures and limitations, which is what Mitzrayim represents. We're talking about the limitations, the tight strictures of the literal, material, actual, geographic, and anthropological Mitzrayim, the civilization that was entirely restrictive to anything godly or holy. That Mitzrayim, which is what we would call the Tachten, the lowest reality possible. Ulamata mizeh eretz Mitzrayim kipshuta, even the literal actual Mitzrayim, a country that essentially a civilization that ran on licentiousness. That was the primary, so to speak, currency. That was what everything revolved around. Not so different than it is today. Shehi ervas ha'aretz, this is called the nakedness of the land. V'tachles ha'kavona b'hayirida l'mitzrayim. The ultimate purpose of this unbelievable descent is lasisli is baruch didu tachtenim. It's God making God a dwelling place. In this tachten zeh, in this lowest reality, there too they should say, oh, there is a God. Yes, there is a God. How do we know? I met Jacob. Now I know there's a God. A person met Yaakov, you know, he took one look at Yaakov. He knew there was a God. This holy man had such a presence about him. He was like become like a window in this dark, dark, thick wall that blocked everybody from Hashem. All of a sudden, there was this big gaping hole, this beautiful window. People looked through the source. Look at that. Look at that. And they saw and they knew and they appreciated God. This is what Yaakov did. So Yaakov had real purpose. In other words, what would Yaakov go to Mitzrayim for? The answer is he went for a purpose. And what kind of purpose? The ultimate purpose. The highest and greatest purpose. V'zehu, and the Rebbe says, based on this idea of purpose, V'zehu v'yichi Yaakov v'eretz Mitzrayim. This is the meaning of Yaakov lived in the land of Mitzrayim. She'iker chayov. That the primary essence of his life, Shnoisov ha'chi tovos. The best years he lived, Yaakov chay b'Mitzrayim. Do you know why he lived in Mitzrayim? Do you know why he lived in Mitzrayim? Do you know why he was alive in Mitzrayim? The Afshar Mitzrayim u'makom hachi yarod, even though Egypt represents the greatest descent, it represents the greatest distancing from everything we know to be godly and holy. Aval mekivon shebe Mitzrayim kiyem Yaakov es tachas hakavana, because it was specifically in Mitzrayim that Yaakov fulfilled the ultimate destiny, the ultimate purpose of his existence and creation at large. The kavana of lasisli is baruch didu b'tachtenim hareze amitis hachaim shel Yaakov. The question was, why did Yaakov just live here? And the answer is, because it was here that he fulfilled the greatest, most missionful purpose. That's why. Bikivan, because ha'ovis ha'ibetelim lelukos b'tachlas. Because the ovis, because the patriarchs lived in a total of, in a state of absolute, total self-abnegation and subservience to God. Ukemaimer, like it says, the famous teaching, Ha'ovus Hein Hein Hamerkava, which this is mentioned in the Medrash Rabba, and it's elaborated on in Zohar. Harimuvan, because a Merkava, a wagon, a chariot, a vehicle, does not have a mind of its own, chitty chitty bang bang notwithstanding. But in a normal situation, in a real situation, vehicles do not have minds of their own. Where do they go? Wherever they are led, wherever they are taken. That's the way the patriarchs lived. Whatever they were led, that's what they were taken. They were totally subservient to Hashem. Harimuvan she'ikir ha'chaim shalahem. That the primary essence then, if you are one of the others, if you're a patriarch, who lives only to fulfill the will of Hashem. That's the purpose of life. That's the currency of life. That's the essence of existence. Mekivin she'tachlas ha'kavana. U'lasis le'yizbarach dir b'tachteinim. Because that's the ultimate mission and that's the ultimate purpose. And since you are a person who lives only for missions and purposes, that's why Yaakov really lived there. You know why he lived there? He lived there because here Yaakov was able to fulfill a destiny and a mission unlike any other place or any other time of his life. And that's what's called living. What's called living for Yaakov is not where Yaakov enjoys life. It's not what's fun for Yaakov, what's relaxing for Yaakov. I'm not talking about materially, chas v'shalom. I mean, even spiritually. What's most edifying for Yaakov personally is not what life's about for Yaakov. What life's about for Yaakov is where does he serve the greatest purpose? That's all. Full stop. That's what life's about. Not everyone could be Yaakov. That is true. So therefore, when we are in situations like this, we're not so happy. And we kvetch. And it's not for us the greatest life because we're not Yaakov. That's the point. That is the point. My father told me that before he moved to Norfolk, Virginia, which, 50 years ago was not exactly a bastion of Yiddishkeit. So there was a Verbrengen. His friends got together and they had a Verbrengen in 1970, Tzitzchol Shalom, it's called. And Rabiel Khan, the Rebbe's Chizer, he verbringt. My father told me that Rabiel verbringt about, he talked about the realities of, you know, you're going away from being close to the Rebbe and your friends, and really, you have no environment. You have no friends. You have nobody to talk to. You have. And the world is a much bigger place. It's not like today, you know, like you have Facebook Live. Like, it wasn't so simple. Even telephone calls were expensive then. And you don't have all the amenities you used to. You don't have not kosher milk and not kosher bread and not kosher meat and nobody to talk to and nobody to socialize with and fraternize with and so on and so on. And Abiel finished his whole description and he said, "Und das ist gelebt." And that's called life. This is, for a chassid, this is life. Why? Because that's what the Rebbe wanted. Because the Rebbe wanted us to go to where we were needed, not where was comfortable for us. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Now, for us, chassidim, it didn't feel so great necessarily. It doesn't feel so great. And sometimes you wished you could go to a place where you have that the greater comfort, but that's because we're not Yaakov. Mm-hmm. That's because we're us. Had we been Yaakov, then we would say, yeah, this is great. This is great. It's great. You're so uncomfortable. I know, but I'm serving such a purpose. And really and truly, you know, I was learning this mind, I thought to myself, this is the essential thesis of Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning. Right? Because, you know, Maslow emphasizes comfort and biological needs and being able to have everything that you like. And that's what makes life life. And Viktor Frankl, of course, said, no, that's not true. What makes life life is meaning. And he says, I saw it. I was in the camps. The people had no biological comfort whatsoever. They had no safety, no security, no happiness. But the ones who lived because they had meaning. Meaning, because they had a purpose, because they had meaning. So purpose is the ultimate motivator. And today you look in a Western world that has more plenty and more luxury and more physical fulfillment than ever before in history, with the highest rate of suicide. How do you square that? How does that work? And the answer is, people have every amenity in the world, but they have no meaning in life. And this is the message of the Parsha. Vayechi Yaakov, do you know where Yaakov lived? He lived in Mitzrayim because living is about purpose. And for Yaakov, the most missionful, purposeful part of his life, because of Dira B'Tachtayinim, was in Mitzrayim those 17 years. And that's why it says Vayechi Yaakov. Yaakov is a shliach. The Rebbe goes on to say that this is why we have the business of Yaakov. Also, the idea of Dira B'Tachtayinim is not just for the world around you, but it's also ultimately to make over, the personal makeover. So personal makeover, how is a person supposed to change themselves? It's supposed to change themselves midos tovas. You should have, so to speak, you should relate to things in a positive way. We should be compassionate and we should be sensitive. We should experience a love of God and an awe and a reverence. This is the midos. Right? This is Chesed, Gevura, Teferes, Netzach, Hidus, and Malchus. And that, of course, number 7. And the Rebbe says that's the primary focus. He brings down a famous maimer from the Mittler Rebbe that says that the land of Israel, the proverbial land of Israel, actually is comprised of 10 nations. But we only capture 7. And only when Mashiach will come, we get the last 3. And why is that? Because the 7 represent Midas, and the last 3 represent Meichen. 7 represent the most emotive qualities. The last 3 represent the intellectual qualities. And the cerebral intellectual reality that we'll be able to look at things differently and understand them differently, that's in God's purview. That's not our primary mission. Our primary mission is to become a mensch. Our primary mission is to develop the right feelings, the right emotions, the right ability to relate to the world around us. And that's like the same idea of Dira B'Tachtayinim. It's a Dira B'Tachtayinim in our own personal tachten. And the Rebbe says, that's why it says first 7 years, and then 40 years, and then 100. And he goes through the numerology here and explains how 7 corresponds to the Midas, and 40 corresponds to Meichen, which is beyond the purview of the next 30 seconds. But it does. It actually works out. And 100 represents Keser, or there's another way of kind of working out that numerology. But the basic numerology, the message of the numerology, and the way it is enumerated is that it works out to be that Yaakov's primary emphasis was in transforming his midos, which once again dovetails into this notion, this thesis of mission and purpose being the primary essence of the life of Yaakov. And that's why the Vayechi Yaakov was in Eretz Mitzrayim. And the Rebbe concludes the maimer in the last paragraph by telling us that all of this is not just a story about Jacob, but rather a lesson for us. There's this idea of Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, that the actions of the fathers are a message for the children, which of course is talked about in the Medrash, but really Ramban develops this idea in a very, very full sense And therefore, and the Rebbe brings the idea that every neshama of the Jewish people, as Alter Rebbe says in Igeres HaKadosh, is related to Yaakov, and therefore each and every one of us has to know that he or she can live a missionful and purposeful life, and when you live that kind of life, that's called Vayechi. And that will bring us, Emetz Hashem, to the rebuilding of the third Beis HaMikdash, and being able to see God eye to eye. That should all be speedily and in our days. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. And thanks everybody for joining us for another week of Torah study.